Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast all about grown-up conversations in a non-expert manner. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yeah, we're both sounding a little bit better this week.
Yeah, I've been...
Mostly me. You're okay.
Yeah, doing the best I can. I've been swilling some essentially home elderberry syrup.
Oh, it's not even an ad yet. This is an ad space now.
No, hey, listen, I just want to promote the brands that I like.
Yes. And code, a good idea 15 or whatever.
Sorry, I think it is. Allison, DM me if that's not the right code.
Yeah.
Set it up real fast. I'm not crunchy or holistic.
Right, same.
But I do really like the elderberry syrup. We've talked about it in past episodes. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking Jane Ellis to a pediatric chiropractor tomorrow.
You are crunchy.
I know, I am now.
That's it.
I'm not drinking Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. You've crossed the line.
Am I? I know. I'm bathing tonight.
One of those things needs to go.
Yeah. I'll gladly take on the Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been bathing in hemp soap, you know.
Yeah. I tried hemp shampoo one time a long time ago. My hair felt like actual straw.
Yeah. My sister-in-law is like a buyer for some retail space, like in beauty supply. And so she sends us stuff all the time. And I'm always like real dubious of it because it's brands I've never heard of.
Oh,
and one
yeah.
was like this hemp and castile soap.
Oh, pass.
Hated it.
I would not do good things for me. For some people, I could see.
Yeah, if you already didn't have much to work with, I could understand.
Or maybe if you had real thick, curly hair.
I was teasing about that.
Oh. To me, it flew right over as logic. So.
Yeah, if you don't have that much
this is
great
a safe
stuff,
space, obviously.
If you don't have that much good stuff to work with, don't worry. You can go down if
we
you
have the shampoo for you.
I did turn it into dog shampoo and it was fine.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I started taking an allergy pill. So, yeah, good things are happening.
And you said better than I do, so I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, use our code.
There's the...
Well, it's been a long weekend.
Yeah, nice weather.
Yeah.
Too hot, but
scorching.
It's fine. Yeah, but anyway, now we're cruising right into summer, and I'm super excited to record today. But before we get into our topic, what are women up to lately?
Man, I was hoping to ask you because all I know are like celebrity things.
Okay, hit me with some celebrity things because I have some non-celebrity super cool things to talk about.
Oh, God. Okay, give me just a second.
So you don't have anything.
I do, but I just have to go. I have to pull up my notes. Okay.
You have notes?
By notes, I mean tabs of stories. Flag, but I read the headline up.
Okay,
let's
sure.
Let's be real. You know me.
It counts. It counts as notes.
Okay, so apparently Olivia Jade, Lori Loughlin's
listening.
Daughter, is planning to, she wants to make a comeback amid college admissions.
Oh, we're ready.
But already she has like shot herself in the foot because she and her sister, one of them is underage or they both are, again.
Well, she's underage. She was a freshman.
Yep.
And under legal drinking age.
Yeah, her sister also is.
Yeah, they're like
20 and 19.
Scottish twins or
yeah, 19
whatever.
And 20. Irish twins.
Sure.
Let's get the culture right. Name it. Anyway, so Olivia Jade and her sister Bella, 19 and 20, mm-hmm. went clubbing at Bootsy Bellows in L.A.
Love it.
Which is like a pretty well-known club. But then they like left and talked to paparazzi about how they got in and like how they loved drinking and dancing.
Idiot.
And so now Bootsy Bellows, the club, is like under investigation of how they were let in, like whether it was with fake IDs
right.
or whether the bouncers just didn't care and because
right.
they're celebrities
they let
them in.
Yeah.
So that was like on the heels of this exclusive. Olivia Jade wants to make a comeback. And I'm like,
that's
going about
amazing.
It all wrong. So that's pretty good. Women are up to that.
Yeah. I don't really want to be in that circle. I guess we are by nature.
Yeah, that's true.
In that same vein, so Kylie came out with a makeup line. I'm sorry, a skincare line.
Oh, yes.
Slash is coming out. And I've seen a lot of people being like, we don't need skincare advice from a 21-year-old.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was looking for more thoughts.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think with Kylie, that is really like her target
arena.
Audience is
right.
like those young 20-somethings.
Yeah, like also 21-year-olds.
And
not me, probably.
Yeah, as much as you want to be.
It's me, Kylie.
It's me, Hannah, again.
Again, DM me.
It's a natural extension of her line, right?
Sure.
Like, so
yeah.
to me, okay. I mean, why would you want to take makeup advice from her? She just started using it. You know, like, I mean, it's the same train of thought to
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, fair.
I don't know. I like everything they touch. I don't think that it mattered what she put her name on. At some point, there would be like, why are we
right.
taking that from a
21-year-old? Yeah, good point.
Yeah,
good
like her
point.
Parenting
okay.
book that I can't wait to read.
Break it out right now. She is the one I am most impressed with in that she never revealed that she was pregnant.
I know. And I hope that she titles her parenting book, I just made it up.
I'm so excited for this.
It's terrible. Cut all this out.
No, I'm not.
So bad. Eye of the Stormy.
Oh, I'm not cutting that out.
Parenting in the Midst of Your Greatest Struggles by Kylie Jenner.
Oh, there was a subtitle as well.
Eye of the Stormy, colon, Parenting Through Your Greatest
Struggles. I'm not cutting it out because when she does end up using that, you will get the... All right. Well, so there's that.
I've been outside a lot today. That's really all I got. It's been a pretty quiet week in terms of your...
Celebrity-wise?
Yeah, which, that's what I'm here for.
Sure.
That's all
sure,
I got.
Sure, sure. Well, this is super cool. The state legislature in Nevada is now majority female.
Oh.
First time in history in this country. Mm-hmm. And I know about the rest of them. And many of them are under 40.
Oh, wow.
And so because of that, these issues that are important to women and therefore everyone are mm-hmm. really getting their time of day. So I'm just going to read this. The female majority is having a huge effect. More than 17 pending bills deal with sexual assault, sex trafficking, and sexual misconduct, with some measures aimed at making it easier to prosecute offenders. Bills to ban child marriage and examine the causes of maternal mortality are also on the docket. I can say with 100% certainty that we wouldn't have had these conversations a few years ago, said Assembly Majority Leader Teresa Benitez Thompson.
Wow.
None of these bills would have seen the light of day. So the big thing about this and about feminism in general is that it isn't a women are better than everyone agenda. And
no, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Like the notion is not like feminism exists because women are better than men. It's women want to be equally recognized mm-hmm. and things that help women, like these things that are severely lacking, help everyone.
Yeah. No, I think overall. That's a really great point.
And in that same vein, our governor, Governor Cooper, signed an executive order recently that will provide 8 weeks of full paid parental leave for those who give birth as of September 1st this year, and 4 weeks to their spouses or partners.
And that's for state employees.
For state employees. So teachers.
Which is amazing.
Looking at you. Yeah.
That's amazing. Because I know so many teachers who have planned getting pregnant mm-hmm. around summer break,
Right.
So
yeah.
They
or giving
don't
birth.
Days.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. What did I say? Getting pregnant.
Getting pregnant. 4 weeks would also be provided for adoptions or receiving foster children.
That's wonderful.
He said paid parental leave has been found to increase worker productivity and improve recruitment and retention. Studies also show that such time at home for parents improves bonding between fathers and children and promotes mental and physical health for families. So.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Everyone wins.
Yeah, I was thrilled to see that come about.
Yeah, and apparently the cost will, his agencies will absorb the cost, but over time it will result in taxpayer saving because it keeps good workers in place,
mm-hmm.
so everyone doesn't need to take unpaid leave and access other public assistance services.
That's great.
So all that to say, these things are very doable.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about this last week. And overall, it isn't some giant, billion dollars that we can't find from nowhere.
Right.
Overall, we save money because people aren't trying to, dig into other ways.
Yeah.
If people can take care of their children, they don't immediately need to get the child care.
Mm-hmm. Subsidy?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. No, that's great.
Anyway, so that's great. So he's not a woman, obviously. I would call him a feminist man.
Yeah, no, progressive for sure.
Yeah, progressive.
In less important news, I watched Wine Country on Netflix over
Ooh,
the weekend.
Yeah, I still want to watch that.
Yeah, I've talked about it in past episodes. I love Amy Poehler. Mm-hmm. I really like the cast, but I can be real dubious of female-fronted comedies because mm-hmm. I think that we tend to fall back on just kind of trite things, even when it's a killer cast.
Yeah, true. Easy lines.
Yes, exactly.
Or the easy joke.
Yeah. I'm tired of fart jokes. You know what I mean?
Melissa McCarthy's thing.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Or menopause jokes or, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was very good. It surprised me and kind of took me a little bit to get into to figure out where all the humor was laying, but mm-hmm. The cast is big, seven women.
Yeah.
And then Tina Fey's in it as well. She's not one of the
right. I noticed
headliners,
that. Yeah.
But she's in it. And it was just really good. I would recommend it. There are a couple, I don't love recreational drug jokes as humor just okay. for me. So there's a little bit of that, but really it was good. It was great.
That's cool.
Yeah, I would recommend it. It's on Netflix. Wine Country.
I just watched the series on Stars called Vida.
Tell me more.
It is a series. I actually heard the showrunner interviewed on Keep It.
Oh, of course you did.
Every episode I talk
Why
about.
Why are you listening to our competition?
I know. But she was talking about how it's the first fully Latinx-run production. And it's like all women,
wow.
writers. Well, there might be one man, she might have said. But just the things that she was talking about were really interesting for me to hear.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, there's so many things that, like, the writers have brought up, and they immediately will try and defend it,
mm-hmm.
like, why they brought it up. And she's like, I always say, like, this is a safe space. You don't have to defend that idea here. Like,
that's awesome.
This is not, like, your typical writing room. Like,
yeah.
your ideas have value and merit, and we see your perspective. And I liked that a lot. It's just 6 episodes, and they're 30 minutes each for seasons 1 and 2. They just dropped season 2. And it's interesting. It's a totally, totally different perspective from any show I've seen, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's about gentrification in, I think, the east side of LA.
So it's a comedy.
So, yeah, it's a comedy. But it deals with a lot of stuff that would not be in my purview,
yeah.
my sphere, otherwise. So I think it's definitely R-rated.
Okay.
So if that's like a no for you.
Yeah. And if you're not rich enough to get Stars, then yeah. just DM me and I'll get Hannah's login yeah. for you.
Enjoy yep. the lower class.
Meanwhile, I'm still plotting my way through Real Housewives of New York and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And that comedy never gets old.
I heard it referred to as Roni recently.
Yeah.
I didn't know
was
that
it
was
me?
A thing.
Did
no.
I?
It was. I'll keep it.
Anyway, bad news for Countess Luann.
Right.
Did you hear?
I read about this.
Yeah. So if you follow Roni and the cast members, Countess Luann is really a national treasure, I would say.
For sure.
She
it's
is
upsetting that I'll never be called a countess. Well, not never. I'm
yeah.
so young.
Could come on. Glass ceiling and all.
yeah.
Anyway, she has been a longstanding cast member.
Right.
And been a favorite
from
of mine.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
yeah.
From first season. You may know her from such hits as Money Can't Buy You Class.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think
agreed,
she has some other
countess.
Ones. She has some other ones. She has a cabaret show now, but...
Doesn't she have, like, a clubbing song? I'm thinking of Kim's clubbing song that one time.
Don't Be Tardy for the Party?
No, no, sorry, Kim K.
Oh,
she has a clubbing song out
yeah,
from,
does.
Like, a while back. And now I can only think of Don't Be Tardy for the Party, so I can't think of the other one. But anyway.
Don't say that housewives don't lend themselves to pop
yeah.
culture. But
yeah.
anyway, she found herself in some legal trouble last year after drunkenly threatening a cop that she would kill them.
Sure.
On New Year's Eve, she got arrested. And she's had a few ups and downs since then, including an intervention right before the last reunion show. Seemed like she was getting her head on straight, but recently failed some sobriety tests. And
yikes.
Yeah. She was told that this is actually, it's not funny, and this is from the wife of an alcoholic, so you can laugh with me. It's not funny that she failed her sobriety test.
Did you say former? Or,
well, I mean, technically, if you're an alcoholic, you are an addict. You always
right,
are.
Right. I know. But it sounds like he is currently an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I assume that you all have listened to every episode. You know that David's in recovery, and we're very proud.
Right. For 2 years
yeah,
now.
Good job,
not
David.
As of like last week. Like, again. So, David, DM me if you need to talk to someone because I'm here for you.
Anyway, fine. Let's be sensitive to my husband. David, I love you. Anyway, so she failed her sobriety test and has not been attending her meetings that are court ordered. And when asked why, she said that they aren't conducive to her cabaret show and training.
Sure.
Which I thought that was like the most incredible answer. So it was not funny that she is not sober.
No, no, but it's like.
But it is incredible.
Like, they're like so rich.
Yeah.
It's like she thinks that that could be a thing.
Well, that would be like if I mean, I'm sure you can track with me. If I were in the similar situation and I were going against, you know, my probation.
Right.
And I was like, well, obviously I cannot attend any meeting because I podcast.
Right. Exactly.
Like, it's one night
well,
a week.
What's her name from Teen Mom? Janelle did that. That
oh,
one
gosh,
time.
She's a
Because she was like, I
disaster.
Can't go. I have a Kesha concert. And I like will never. She's like from around here. So I feel like I can
she
do
is.
Her voice pretty well.
Yeah.
But she like never. Like, I don't know. I don't watch Teen Mom. I've seen a few episodes and definitely the ones with her. But like that line is like never not in my head.
I have
like,
a Kesha.
I have a Kesha concert.
Agreed. But anyway, Countess Luann, I really want to buy tickets to your show, my friend, but I will not do it if it is, you know, leading you. If I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. So,
yeah, I don't know that you're running that risk. I think regardless, Countess Luann is going to do what she wants to do.
So anyway, that's the hard hitting news, too.
I yeah, forgot. That's good. All right. Well, do we?
That's all I got, David. I'm still sorry.
Yeah, it's OK, David. Actions speak louder than words. And that action was pretty clear. So anyway, let's hit it. Let's hit the break.
Be back in a bit.
right, Caroline.
Yes?
You are off of your Diet Dr. Pepper.
For 1 week now.
For 1 week.
Speaking of recovery and sobriety.
Yeah. Yes.
Countess, if you can do it.
The same.
I can too.
Anyway, I have been trying for a while, and now's my opening, I can tell.
Okay.
To get you on the coffee train.
You're working on it.
Yeah. One day. I was thinking a weekend I could stage a cupping.
Please don't use that as a verb.
That's what it is.
Is it?
When you taste the coffees.
Okay.
Anyway.
Teach me everything you
know.
Clearly,
I will.
Clearly you're an expert on this.
Yes.
Not much else.
I am. This I will take.
Okay.
This and I don't
I'm going to start turning coffee into a verb. I'm going to start cappuccinoing.
We do that. The millennials do that. Like, we ing everything. I feel like I'm with us.
I'm so old, 32.
You're a millennial also. You're not in this. Anyway, also, I don't relate to that because I'm really young still. So
go on.
So my coffee that has kept me alive for the last 6 years, I want to say, maybe a little bit less, is Lineage.
You have told me so much about Lineage, and
yes.
I want the people to hear about it.
Yeah, I live for Lineage, and I'm super excited to partner with them. They're a small coffee roaster out of Orlando.
Okay.
And, we got to know them really well when we lived in Orlando, and there was no one in this world who will convince you, someone who will not take coffee without cream and sugar, to take black coffee like Jarrett Johnson.
Okay, well, if he could come on the podcast, that's my biggest stumbling block right now.
I know.
I do not want to trade my artificial no calorie sweetener.
Right.
For a coffee that has to be loaded with cream and sugar.
Right, that's the thing. And I have heard him talk to people, and he just has a way of convincing people to try. Because good coffee that's roasted to the level that each bean from each part of the world, which he's been to, he sources these himself. He goes on trips with his team, and they go and get the coffee and, like, talk to the growers. And then he goes back and roasts them to, like, their optimal. Like, it's not going to be the super black,
yeah,
like, powder that you get in the Folgers thing.
So, like, the Aldi coffee that I tried last week, black.
I'm going to go with, it shouldn't be black.
I would still love to partner with Aldi.
It should be brown. Oh, yeah. This is not a slight against Aldi.
No, but it did taste like gasoline.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah. No, you can't do that because when people are mass producing coffee, they're just burning it because they got to get it to all the same flavor.
Right.
Craft coffee is meant to have different flavors based on where it's from and based on the time of year that it was harvested. And it tastes, like, when you make it properly, it tastes so good. Like, it's just so fresh. I haven't had cream and sugar in my coffee in years. Am I a healthier person than you?
Clearly.
Draw your own conclusion.
We'll let the audience decide.
Yeah.
When this episode comes out.
Exactly.
But really, I have heard you talk about Lineage truly and passionately since I've known you now.
Right.
So I'm excited for other people to try it. Jury's still out on me trying it, but I really want other people to try it.
Okay. Well, now we'll have to do a whole thing. Live.
And it's like slurpy.
Do the cupping.
No one wants to watch a live cupping.
Anyway, it's amazing, and we want you to try it. The website is lineageroasting.com. So hit their website, take a browse, and see what kind of coffees you'd want to order. DM me if you want suggestions, because we get it regularly. If you use the code A Good Idea, there's a special offer waiting for you, and do it.
Happy Java-ing.
Happy coffeeing. Welcome to the rest of your life. It's finally clear. You can finally see clearly now.
All right, we're back. And we are tackling today relationships that we all have with food, secondarily with alcohol, basically anything that we consume. Because some of us have adversarial. Did I say that right?
No.
Adversarial.
Yep.
Cool. Relationships. Other people have super friendly relationships. We actually polled our Instagram followers and I have a lot of feedback that I would love to share from them.
Yeah.
But you know the old adage, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
What have you eaten today? And do you feel like you were that?
Oh, garbage.
Okay.
I've eaten garbage recently. And it's so funny because what was it, like a week ago that I was like, I'm doing so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been really stressed for like a full week.
Okay.
And I eat my feelings. I think I say that every week.
Yep.
And, it's just been rough. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, that May-sember thing you were talking about is real.
That you didn't believe when I first said it.
Now I do. I still think it's ridiculous to say it, but this is a chaotic time.
I would just like you to know, side note, don't edit this out because I need the people to hear it. But I was so thrilled with my May So Cray hashtag, which I may have seen somewhere else. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I made it up. I used it in my organization's Facebook post.
Oh, okay. You're double dipping, first of all.
Yeah. Listen, good content can sell, you know?
Unbelievable. And there's no loyalty at this table.
And it has nothing to do with food. I just needed you to know.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm editing it out.
My shiny moment. I never give myself any credibility in this. So. Give me something. You're the smart one. Everyone knows.
Oh, my gosh. That's absurd. We both are.
You're right. It's absurd.
No. But, you know, like, I can't remember the last time I meal planned at all.
Okay. Does that make a big difference for you?
It makes a really big difference. Because also, like, Pasan and I are very different. Like, I very much can, like, make do with whatever. Uh-huh. And he can't. Like, he doesn't like that at all. And he gets, like, stressed when there isn't, like, a plan. And I'm like, I don't know. There's, like, dried pasta and, like, some sauce. Do something.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, not okay with that at all.
Well, so when you are feeling stressed already and mm-hmm. then you eat, like, garbage.
Yes.
Does that, like, ease your feeling, or does that just, no pun intended, feed the feeling of feeling stressed? Like, do you feel...
It doesn't help me like it used to. It used to help me feel better. Now I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not stressed.
Yeah.
And now I'm also, like...
Full.
Right. And I'm, like, full. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I've not been sleeping well.
Oh, really?
For like at least a couple weeks, I would say. Because I've been adding more meat into my diet. I was going a super low meat diet.
Oh, okay.
And just eating, like, doing a lot of, like, beans and tofu and stuff like that, which I love. Mm-hmm. And I was super energetic. Like, I felt great. Mm-hmm. I have tried that once before, and the problem then was I subbed in a lot of carbs.
Oh, yeah.
So that is a mistake you don't want to make. But this time, I have been super healthy. But when, like, I will eat meat, like, I would eat meat, like, eating out. But mm-hmm. because we've been so busy, we've been eating out a lot more, mm-hmm. and there's just been so much meat. Like, I wake up, like, every night for, like, an hour, and I can't get back to sleep. And I'm not, like, on my phone or something like that. Like, yeah. I'm just, like, restless and miserable.
There wasn't meat in those mozzarella sticks y'all had for dinner.
Okay, settle down. We didn't need to name names. Didn't promise that I would be up tonight, did I?
I just wanted to encourage you that you are still hitting meatless. Oh. I'm sorry, that might come through. That was a compliment.
Yeah. That came through loud and clear. What you really meant came through loud and clear. But anyway, I guess all that to say, it doesn't help.
Yeah. No, I get you. I have been, I mean, really, since I gave up Diet Dr. Pepper 1 week ago.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah. For once upon a time when I gave it up.
I used to be a fool.
No, but I really have become, like, very aware. It doesn't mean that I've, like, necessarily changed my habits, mm-hmm. but I've become so aware of how controlled I feel by food.
Okay.
That, like, I want to say that I view food as fuel. You know, like, I'll listen to these right. podcasts about intuitive eating and mindful eating and these things that are like, food is fuel. That's all it is. Food
right.
is fuel. And I used to have a friend. Well, I have a friend. She was a personal trainer who would always say, hunger is not an emergency. And I'm like, I really agree with that on principle.
Right.
Like, but then what I live is not at all that. Like, I'll get a lot of stuff at the grocery store with, like, those things in mind and those tenets in mind mm-hmm. with food as fuel. But then I, like, find ways around
right.
that. And I'm like, I end up feeling out of control. And then that really just compounds whatever emotion that I'm feeling, because
that's
then
true.
I feel
it
out of control.
It does make me feel out of control. That's a good point. It didn't. That really puts words on it. Intermittent fasting, which I did in the fall, uh-huh. As you know, helped me realize that hunger is not an emergency.
Okay.
So I can, like, logically tell myself that now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true that, like, today, like, I am not, like, I am almost, like, more stressed out because I'm like, well, I ate, like, mozzarella sticks and jalapeno poppers.
Sorry.
And now I have to talk about it because you did. So, and since we're talking about it, also chips and dip. Okay, fine.
Why didn't you invite me?
Whatever was there. It was also one of those times where I'm like, okay, we've been gone all day. I have not meal prepped anything. Like, I have, like, stuff I could put together, but
yeah.
I'm also just, like, so tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm too tired to, like, do all of this. Yeah. And
well, it's one more thing to think about.
It is.
And I think that's what I wrestle with the most with my relationship with food, is I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
But I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
My mom is, like, not an eater. Like, she has to remind herself to eat. I do not understand people who forget to eat.
Oh, yeah. My grandpa believes that food is really bad for your body.
Food.
Yeah. One generally. Time he said to me, there's nothing worse for your body than to put food in it.
Okay. All right.
He's a sage.
Can we have him on the podcast?
I'm just kidding. He is. He's great. He's the best conversation you'll ever have in your life.
Well, I can't wait to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So I'll be coming down to your next family.
You would be talking to a brick wall. He's made up his mind, but
okay.
He's got some great stories.
I'm not trying to convince him he's wrong. I want to hear more about it.
New diet plan.
Well, and my sister, who I've described before as tall and willowy and has this, like, pure bar sculpted body, and I hate her, but she...
Hi, Annabeth, I love you.
Thanks for listening. She would have, I think that I would describe it as adversarial relationship, because she has some health problems that she's had to get to the bottom of what triggers these different things. And mm-hmm. so now our friend Maylee is having some similar problems. And so I asked Annabeth, can you send me like what you do and don't eat, thinking it would be like no tomatoes or spicy food? And it is this beyond ridiculous list. And she said, actually, as I'm writing it all down, it is really crazy what I don't eat anymore to feel good and feel optimal about my health.
Right.
And sometimes I like wish that I had these like
a thing you couldn't do.
That I couldn't do, like, but I don't.
Do gluten.
I'm sure if I stopped, maybe I'd feel better, but I don't feel bad.
Right.
I just think about food a whole lot. I'm always thinking about my next meal. And to me, like, food is kind of like a hobby. Not necessarily eating it as a hobby, though, like, sure, that would be too. But I love preparing food.
Yeah, you do.
I really like the act of meal planning. Like, I love pulling up all of these blogs that I follow and, you know, all of these things and planning our meals and doing the grocery shopping. I love it.
I like occasionally cooking.
Oh, okay. So I love doing it every night. Mm-hmm. I love doing our big grocery hauls. I'm just really into it. But I wish I weren't. I wish it were something else, because ultimately it's food that we have to eat, and then I eat it.
Right.
And then I'm thinking about the next thing that we do. I want to have a non-relationship with food.
Right. I don't know. I like to make food for my family, and I don't like for them to just eat a whole bunch of processed stuff.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But I am also like in summer break with kids home all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like that line in Parks and Rec where they like close down the parks and the mom is like, where are my kids supposed to be? In my house where I live? And like, that's never been more like, Milan's only in preschool, but all right. Like, it's day one. It's day one of summer break.
And
I have been so, I've been so stressed, and I'm just like, I don't know, man. Take all the Pop-Tarts you want. Like, you win.
Oh, God, I'm coming to your house.
You win.
Pop-Tarts.
Well, they're Publix brand, so don't get excited.
Are they frosted?
But, yeah.
Oh, God.
Of course.
Of course I'm coming over. But, yeah, well, I mean, to make you feel better, we went to the pool. You know, my kids go to bed at 5.
Sure.
So we went to the pool from like 3 to 4:30, and of course Anna Blair has decided that she loves the pool, but it's because she loves Adult Swim, because she loves snacks. Like, she loves it.
She's the most relatable of anyone.
She just wants to put her bathing suit on so she can eat snacks.
Yeah,
that is it.
Fair.
But they ate so many snacks,
and then they don't want dinner,
and then and it was fine. Like, I told David, this is probably going to be dinner, and it was. But then I'm like, okay, they ate pirate's booty, some clementines, and like some fruit leathers, not fruit roll-ups, fruit leathers.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
It was gross, but they eat them, and that's fine. But I'm like, what did that actually nourish my kids in?
Well, not mozzarella sticks.
Yeah,
so
well, clearly I'm not a cool mom.
Step one.
But like, I went to Costco, and I was like, I'm going to get cool snacks.
Yeah.
But then I'm walking around, and I'm like, I don't want to give my kids any of this. Like, so I'm constantly walking the line of...
I don't want it to be pure sugar, but I do... Like, also, like, they are eating me out of house and home, and they are children. Like, oh my gosh, when they get older, what am I going to do? Like...
This is going to make me sound so stupid, so I know it.
Okay.
But I was... I was telling David, like, I am stressed that our grocery bill has gotten really high, and I think it's because I'm not doing a good job with our grocery budget.
Okay.
And he's like, well, but also, like, our kids eat stuff now. Like, we're a family of 5 that eats food. And in my mind, like, I had not equated that to needing more food, but the amount of fruit that we buy,
the amount
of yogurt, like, that stuff is not inexpensive.
Right.
And because I don't want to give them, like, just regular yogurt, I want it to be Greek yogurt.
Right.
Or, you know, Greek yogurt, whatever.
Yeah. Milan only likes key lime Chobani, so.
Well, of course. Of course he likes a name brand. My girls really like key lime, too, but they'll take any. But how do you improve your relationship with food? Do you want to? Do you care? What does that look like
for
you?
This is the thing. I don't know. Like, I have gone through a really good streak recently. It ended. But I'm, like, confident I can get it back. It's just, like, once it's off, it's... But I don't know what it is. Like, it's like you have to get somewhere yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you have to hit rock bottom.
Right.
It's almost just like you have to decide for yourself and only yourself what you're going to be happy with. And I think to me, it's almost like you have to be the most okay with yourself.
No, I think that's a really good point.
Physically.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because, you know, I was using MyFitnessPal for a long time.
Which stresses me out.
Yeah, well, so I used it by a long time. I mean, like a few months. And I really liked it. Like, I liked tracking it. I liked seeing some progress. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I had a weird situation with birth control and I gained 10 pounds, which I had lost. And
hate the side effects of birth control.
Yeah, I've been off it for months. It was like 3 weeks and I gained 10 pounds and it has not come off.
You can't like lose it again.
No, I don't know where it came from or where it will ever go. But that was like the worst 3 week decision I ever made. But then I got completely discouraged because I'm like, well, I'm eating the exact same amount of stuff.
Right.
I'm not losing weight. Then I felt controlled to everything that I put in my mouth. Down.
Which is one other thing to remember on top of everything else in the day.
Yeah, it would be the end of the day. I'd be like, well, I only tracked two meals today, so screw it. I'm going to eat whatever I want.
Right.
And then I'm like, I don't feel great about myself anyway.
Yeah.
But am I a victim of it? I don't know.
It's kind of that thing where you set the goals and then, like, a lot of times you can really hit every goal and it feels great. But on the times when you miss, like, I was talking several weeks ago about, like, the Streaks app.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, the days when I can, like, cross all those off are great. But then sometimes there'll be a run, like, a busy time where it's like, I haven't hit any of these goals. And now I just feel really bad about myself because, like, I haven't been, like, keeping track of these different things. It's just, like, it's almost, like, harder. Like, I still like that app and I still use it. But I'm also, like, I have to come to a place where I, like, I've had to learn to be really gracious with myself to where I'm like, all right. This isn't permanent. Like, yes, I ate like garbage this weekend.
Yeah.
Milan had like his end of year preschool and I couldn't go to the gym for, I could only go to the gym like twice last week. And I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to go again because he doesn't like going to the gym. And now like our days are different. And I just have to understand that I mainly have to be okay with my body because if I'm going to the gym, it's to be healthy. I can eat to be healthy. And once I get back on track, I know I can do that again.
Yeah.
But I think I have to like be at least happy enough with my body to where I'm not like, oh, I have to go to the gym to be making these changes or I have to eat differently to be making these changes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you know, everything in my life right now goes back to mental load. And so I'm sorry if you guys are tired of hearing about it. But, you know, I do think if you have a relationship with food that is not like a thoughtless one, that like you have to remind yourself to eat and that kind of thing, which I will never understand you.
Right.
But
same.
I'm jealous. Thinking about how to control it is one more piece of mental load.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel so stressed because like I'm already thinking about, okay, to have an optimally healthy day tomorrow, what am I making for dinner?
Right.
Well, we just kind of finished dinner tonight. Like why I'm three meals ahead and I have five people to feed. And so we were, that's a good point that you brought up about the gym too. We were talking, the idea behind this episode came from twofold. One, we got really great feedback from last week's episode, which thank you to all of you. We,
oh yeah, that was really great.
We were a little bit nervous about recording that because we wanted to make sure that it landed.
I didn't eat for 2 days. I did not eat for 2 days.
Let's pick out something else.
The first time in my life, I was just like, really?
Do you want to talk about the death penalty next week and see how that goes?
Oh, I'm way more confident about that. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I don't know. There's something about abortion that makes me so anxious, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And I...
Could it be abortion itself?
No, I'm totally comfortable with that. No, just the conversation feels so taboo, so I felt very anxious.
What I was going to point out was I was surprised the number of people that reached out to me about giving up Diet Dr. Pepper, which, you know, it was my first day last week.
Yeah.
I got so many being, you know, proportional to our number of followers, but a significant number.
Millions.
That's what I'm saying. Of comments and DMs about, I've been trying to do that too. Mm-hmm. You know, here are some sparkling waters that I really like. You know, there was just a good response to that. And we got a text from our friend, Sarah, who said, you know, this really hit on something that I'm working with my relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
And we continued to talk about it for a little while in that. And, you know, that really kind of spurred this conversation. But she brought up the good point about like this fitness, social media mentality that is so pervasive.
That was a very good point.
And I feel like food is within that too. You know, you don't see regular people like, here's my semi-healthy pasta.
Right. I'm not like Instagramming my mozzarella sticks.
I wish you had in jalapeno poppers. Like you're not going to.
Right.
And like, I'm not going to, if I had what I felt like was a good workout, but I still know what I weigh and what I look like, I'm not going to take a picture in the gym mirror and post it and be like, gains. Because the only thing I'm gaining is like weight.
Right.
It's not muscle.
Right.
But like tonight we had like chicken piccata. It was good. It was not.
Not mozzarella sticks is what I'm hearing.
That's exactly
jalapeno
what I said.
Poppers.
It was like moderately healthy. It was nourishing. It was fine.
Right. Homemade. So to me, if it's homemade, it's healthy.
I agree. But, you know, usually I make a big salad on the side or some kind of vegetables. I didn't tonight. I didn't post any of that. But what you see are like zoodles with this beautiful whatever and acai bowls.
Yeah.
And I like that food.
Right. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But it doesn't just encourage. It, like, shames when you aren't.
Totally.
And so there's this really fine line to walk of, like, you're not really posting it, I don't think, because you're proud of yourself. I, like, maybe you are, but to me it's more of, like, here's how well I did. You're yeah. flexing for some kind flex. Of, I yeah. don't know, in, some kind of comment.
Clout.
Some kind of, yeah, of, like, oh, you are goals. Oh, you are, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I don't think
I'm
being very articulate.
No,
so
but
I'm sorry.
I know. I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, to me, this Instagram culture
mm-hmm.
is built on increasing your following, becoming more of an influencer. But
oh,
there's
right,
not
yeah.
a lot of talk about, like, the mentality that goes in behind that. And
yeah.
the reverse side of, like, if you know, I follow some healthy living, quote unquote, bloggers who have been posting for a really long time and the industry has changed and, you know, they'll post everything they ate in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go on these message boards that are like, that's not true. That's there's no way they ate that in a day. But I'm like, how do you feel on either end of that? Right. Like, if you've struggled with controlled eating,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll even say this could be a trigger warning.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also are having to live up to their own standard. That
right.
they've set. So there's this weird, like, dichotomy, I think.
Right. It's also like, I'm like, well, I can't blame you for, like, doing an ad for Panera salads or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not what one that I've seen, but like, I can't blame you for making your money.
Sure.
What I can do.
Or like HelloFresh. There's so
yes.
HelloFresh spends
yeah.
a lot.
Yes.
HelloFresh, we are available.
Yeah. Unrelated. Don't listen to this episode, HelloFresh. But no.
Anyway, Blue Apron.
I do like them, but no, I mean, I think for me, like, those have to be unfollows. Because mm-hmm. they're like, for my social media, which I've tried to cut back on quite a bit and I've been happier because of it, is a game of pointing out to people, like, it's, you know, your salespeople, because you're making something look so good so that someone else will want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've started asking myself, was I fine without this product before I scroll down and saw it? Or is
That's
this
great.
Something I've really been looking for? And it's the same with food for me. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, that does look good. But, like, logistically, would that make sense? Like,
yeah.
this is a really pretty thing that you posted, but am I actually going to take the time to make these 82 ingredients and put it together? No.
Well, that's like, I feel like what's so popular right now are these, like, Mac Daddy smoothies that probably cost $47 in ingredients.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not, if you have the money to spend on that is fine. It is
oh,
not
yeah.
about me not having the money to spend on that. But it
Which
is
I don't.
Like,
no, I'm just kidding.
I
I'm
do
just
not,
kidding.
Unless Aldi sells it, I don't. But it's, you know, all of these different things. And, you know, I kind of want to scream when I see those, like, but what if you just have spinach and fruit? Like,
right.
that's also
Which is still fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's also fine.
That's my breakfast.
Yeah, but you don't see that.
No.
But it's also like we're in this weird culture of being okay and content. Again, I always go back to this culture just strips you from being content with
yes.
what you're eating. And encourages
and how
you
you're
to
living,
be extra.
What you're buying. Yeah, yeah.
Because it has to be impressive. And, you know, I've even thought about that in the restaurant industry with these restaurants that are going for Instagrammable food.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, just make something that people eat
I just
and
want a
they
good
like
burger.
To eat it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Speaking of no
I
meat.
Definitely want a good burger.
One thing that Amy said that I thought was really interesting, and she's talked about this before with me, but then I was telling her we're recording this, and she said one thing that has helped me with my feelings around food is that I don't consider any foods good or bad.
Mm-hmm, I loved that.
And she said, it just takes the power away from me, but it's a neutral choice that I can make depending on what outcome or interaction I want to have with that food. So if I want to eat some garbage because it makes me feel emotionally well, that's okay. And in general, it makes me want to choose food that helps build my body and nourish it. And that helps me expand my thoughts of food all the way out to sustainably sourced stuff, organic, etc. Which is a really good point.
That is a great point. And I listened to a podcast recently I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, about diet culture.
Yeah.
And how, you know, it's this diet culture that labels foods good and bad. And when mm-hmm. you get back to an intuitive eating mindset, you are doing exactly what Amy says. Like, what
right.
do I want? What does my body want? What
right.
feels like it's nourishing it? But that feels so foreign, because even then, like, I don't know about you, so I'm just saying that I'm a judgmental person. If I see a beautiful picture of food on Instagram, I'm immediately going to see what the person looks like who Instagrammed it.
Okay.
And then I am determining how much I want to eat that food. Because if they look what I consider better than I look,
mm-hmm.
then I will want more likely to emulate that recipe and that food.
Interesting.
If they look less like I want to look like,
mm-hmm.
it, to me, defeat some credibility of, like, well, I'm not going to eat that because that is not projecting this image that I want
right.
to project.
Okay.
And that is my total mindset of food. I eat food because I want to be slimmer,
mm-hmm.
but I want to be slimmer, but don't want to change any of the food I'm eating.
Right. Yeah.
So then I'm stuck with exactly where I am.
Yeah.
And our listener, Mallory, had a really good input when she said, I can confidently say that I have a healthy relationship with food when I could finally admit to myself that I like being a thin person, that and it is okay to feel that way. Whereas I think society wants us to all be thin, but say, I love my body regardless of my size. I like being a thin person and I like to cook and eat so I can make those things work. Lots of fresh foods, protein, vegetables, water, and then cheese and chips and sweets to fill in where I want them. But I thought it was a really good point of it's okay to say I'm eating this way because I want to be thin, not
right.
I don't care what size I am. I love my body. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's this like hypocritical mindset that social media has created in us of embrace your body, body positivity.
If it's the right type, yeah.
Yeah. But also, here's exactly what you should subscribe to look like.
Yeah, I follow a couple of people who run specifically plus size accounts.
Nice.
I'm not sure if that's the right way, but like they talk about a lot of ways that society fat shames without really thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
And I really am learning a lot from those accounts, and I'm totally blanking, but I'll tag the one I'm thinking of in our show notes. But it's just interesting the way that. Like this person is also out there putting herself out very confidently mm-hmm. and is not being like shared by Instagram on their regular account.
Yeah.
When, so if it's really about body positivity, and she shares a lot about her personal health as well.
Oh, that's great.
And it's just not what you would think.
That's like, really
it's
refreshing.
Not, like she doesn't have like health problems or
yeah.
like it's not, I don't want to paint with a broad brush. She does not have like, I think we're kind of.
Like diabetes because she's
right.
Heavier.
Yeah, we would kind of think like, oh, I wonder what
of
could be wrong.
I know
and
what
she's
this
like,
is.
I'm a happy individual.
Yeah.
And she has talked about like feeling censored by Instagram.
Oh, interesting.
I follow her on Instagram, so that's why she was talking about it there. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a look your best. If your best is a size 4 or under,
mm-hmm.
it's super toned look.
Yeah,
like
and
there
then
isn't
post yourself working out and
right.
eating whatever.
Right.
Either eating super healthy or showing us just how approachable you are by eating lots of pizza.
Right. It's like, okay, you don't eat Shake Shack every day.
Right. You don't.
Settle down. If
you
could, I would. So settle. But I mean, in another account I follow is a someone who has a very, what we would consider like nice figure, but has quite a few stretch marks and mm-hmm. Her belly is like very obviously a postpartum belly.
Oh,
in
cool.
that she has like a 5-year-old,
mm-hmm.
but she's like a very like sexual person, like
sensual,
I guess mm-hmm. more like, but like her whole thing is like putting out that like my body is still my body. Like
yeah.
I am a beautiful person. And she has a hashtag called Tiger Stripes on a Tuesday, where she highlights like lots of people who show off their stretch marks.
Oh, that's cool.
Not just from pregnancy, but like a lot of things. And
yeah.
So just things like that. Like these are not really things that we see displayed all over the place or like shared,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
yeah.
like on a, like it's just less popular. So it definitely is because it's even hard. Like I follow her and a couple of the other accounts to remind myself like these people are like real people and these are like I'm fine. They're fine. We're all fine.
Well, your friend Amanda also has now become my friend Amanda.
Yeah.
Pointed out.
Say, don't upset Amanda.
There's an account that we all follow. Actually, I don't, but you send them their stuff to me. And they did like a boomerang of themselves. They're both moms, like in bathing suits with a caption, like, you should be
oh,
proud
yeah.
of your mom
right.
bod. You know, this is what
yeah.
it looks like. And Amanda commented back, and I thought it was a really insightful comment that the caption is fine
mm-hmm.
and good and, you know,
mm-hmm.
should be praised, but they also look really good in their bathing suits,
right.
like objectively.
Right. Like size 8 to 10 or smaller, I would assume.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so it's all well and good, and it's not a bad thing that they.
Right. The message
that.
Is very positive and
yeah,
true.
But I thought that her take was really interesting to me
yeah.
of, yeah, but if they were like a 16, 18,
right.
would they
or higher. Yeah.
yeah, would they post that?
Right.
So anyway, I think that there's a lot to it that it's hard to break out the food piece of it from the size and body
right.
aspect because
it's all very mangled.
Yeah. When I first wanted to talk about this, I wanted to talk about food.
Right.
Specifically. But I realized so much of my relationship with it is like a tug of war with how I'm feeling physically about myself.
Right. It is all very related.
Externally, not even
yeah,
like intrinsically.
Yeah. 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 One piece of advice that both Amanda from when she went to the nutritionist and
oh,
I
yeah.
tagged
you,
in on that
nooch,
sort
I
of
hope that you paid her back for that appointment.
And our friend Sarah both talked about as far as ways to avoid that trap of like eating your feelings or something like that. For me, I mean, for a lot of us, is finding rewards for success that are not food.
Yes.
And go ahead.
Oh, I listened to a podcast called Diet Starts Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's from the girls who started Betches.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Subscribing.
But they are so approachable and relatable. They have lots of guests on who, you know, are experts in different diets, and mm-hmm. they like will give it back to them. Like, I just don't believe that's right for my body.
I like that.
It's really interesting. But they have a segment that they call non-scale victories every week of like, it has nothing to do with the number on a scale. Maybe you got up and worked out when you didn't want to, but something that is not scale related. And I thought that was really a good takeaway. It's easy to do.
Yeah, it is. It is. And for me, like some little things are like reading time or even like buying myself something.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like nothing big, or even like getting a coffee, or like, I don't know, it could be anything.
Yeah.
And a coffee isn't really, I guess, like going out and like getting a
cup
of coffee.
Well, you wouldn't, because
I mean,
lineage.
I wouldn't, because it's not Lineage and they don't have a shop here yet.
Sure.
But one day. But I mean, like, just, I don't know, something to reward yourself that isn't food, which for me, like, I would stock chocolate stuff, because like at the end of the day I would like have to have something. But I do think I've mostly worked myself out of that habit by like trying to think of ways that are not food that would make me feel better.
That's
about
good.
It. Or just really, like Amy was saying, like thinking overall about it.
Do you end up feeling guilty about what you eat?
I don't think I really ever feel guilty.
Like, if would you record everything you ate in a day and publish it for people to see?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
That's great. I feel like when I do that, I immediately self-edit, because then I want people to see, like, that
If anything, it would keep me from making some bad decisions.
Right.
But not because I was afraid. Not because I wouldn't want to show it.
Just because I'm mindful.
Oh, I'm writing. Yeah, mindful.
Yeah, you'd be more aware.
Yeah.
Because I do feel this cycle of, and it's a control thing, exactly like I said before, but as we know, I struggle with guilt of, well, I've eaten this, so I might as well have something else. It
right.
made myself feel worse, and now I feel worse, and now I feel worse.
Right.
And it just starts again. You know, like, okay, well, tomorrow, we all have that. Well, tomorrow's going to be better.
Yeah.
And then, for me, I always do great breakfast, lunch, and then right around 3 p.m. is when the wheels fall off, if they fall off. Which is not every day, but when they do, it's
that
time. Yeah,
it's a hard time of day.
But I always know it. Like, I know it's coming.
Yeah, yeah, I do too, and I really struggle with that. I struggle with that with the kid, like, because I don't want my kids to only ever turn to, like, processed foods as snacks.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you say no to so much as a parent. So I'm like...
Whatever.
I don't know. Like, I can't say no to everything. Like, I can't always be the person that says no, or like, no, you can't. Like, and thankfully, at least now that school's over, there aren't designated school snacks.
Oh, right.
That I have to get on to everyone about.
Right.
But I just don't want to police what they eat. Like, they need to eat fruits and vegetables. But that also takes more effort for me to, like, prepare a fruit. Because, you know, you have to, like, peel stuff or cut stuff or do stuff like... It's still more for me.
Well, and we grew up in a house that was very healthful and nutritional and nutritious. That's a better word. Nutritious. We didn't have a ton of junk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were like, I mean, I grew up in like the late 80s and early 90s. So, you know, it was like Snackwell's cookies. And you know, that's when like the first like very low fat chips, like Olean was how
yeah,
you did. Like,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
So Snackwell's is still a brand that I like, but you know, it's like
not your family brand, but it's okay.
Yeah, if I can't get my hands on Tom's. but I felt like, because my mom put really healthy boundaries on what we ate, like two cookies for lunch for dessert if we had that.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I felt like real controlled by it. So if I went to somebody's house who had lots of processed stuff, like my friend Shannon Boyle, her family always got wild berry frosted Pop-Tarts. And when I would go and spend the night,
speaking my language,
I would like raid that house because I feel so bad. I'm like, sorry, Mrs. Boyle, that I ate your house out of house and home, because it felt like this like golden calf of like, I couldn't have that because we didn't eat that at my house. And now I feel like I have a house that's very similar to the one I grew up in, but I want to be really well aware of. I don't want to restrict what my kids are allowed at my house. So I think that did create this weird obsession with food that I couldn't have.
But it's weird because that's what you're supposed to do as a parent.
Yeah,
like, your mom did that.
She did the exact
so
right
it's
thing.
Like, well, if she did that and you felt like you don't have like a good, like if you don't feel like you binged,
Oh, I for
when
sure
you had the chance. Because then it's like, what do we do?
Yeah, because when I got old enough that like I could stay at home by myself, mm-hmm. my mom took my siblings to practice or whatever. I mean, I would go in that pantry and eat whatever. So maybe it's more about me than it is about how I was raised, but it felt like even early on, some foods were off limits and mm-hmm. some were not. And so for a while I was like, well, maybe if I just expose myself to a lot of the other food,
right,
then it won't feel like this certain thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that with my kids of like, I don't like the 80-20 rule because then I'm constantly trying to do math of what's 80 and 20.
Yeah, it's another thing to think about.
Like, I don't know. I'm just doing the best I can.
I don't know. Just eat. Like, I'm so... I don't know.
But I'm trying to do that with my kids. Like, you know, if they want a cookie, okay.
Right.
Fine. Like, you can have it.
I don't want to have the argument is mainly it. Like, yeah. Take your sugar and get outside.
Well, and I just don't want it to become for them because of my issues. Like, issues is really strong. But what I wrestle with food is like that becomes a thing that they're then obsessing over. Like,
yeah.
That becomes the idol of like, but if I could just have that cookie.
Right.
And even like now, if I'm restricting myself more, I'll be like, okay, I don't want ice cream tonight. So instead, I will eat 4,000 calories of something else that feels healthier.
Right.
But I didn't have the ice cream.
Like 1,800 cuties.
Yeah. Right. But no ice cream.
I will eat my weight in cuties. So oh, I guess I'm fine because that's a fruit.
But I'll eat like handfuls of chocolate chips.
Mm.
Because it
totally
feels like I cannot
That's
limit myself.
Snack. It's only a small handful, so it's fine.
Thank you. And then 37 handfuls later.
Well, it's only semi-sweet, so.
It's by those antioxidants.
Yeah.
But anyway, basically, you're screwed either way, so thanks
right.
for listening to
Yeah, exactly. End of series.
But, okay, so secondarily in relationship to food, I think, especially in this day and age, and again, social media, I don't like to blame them for everything, but it's all your fault, social media.
You suck.
I listen to a podcast, and they call it social media as a person. Really good.
That's great.
So they're like, all right, we'll take it. We're going to go have a conversation with social media. anyway, this wine friendly and alcohol friendly and encouraged culture.
Yeah.
Has that impacted at all your relationship with alcohol or wine?
In that I feel more comfortable drinking.
Yeah. Do you feel like it is more commonplace to be like, well, you know, I need the wine or
yeah.
like this wine mommy culture?
Yes.
Okay. Was that, did you
Which
feel
I feel like, comfortable. That is the only part of mommy culture I'm comfortable in.
Talking about wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It is.
Question answered.
Yeah. that's the only part that doesn't feel like a bit foreign to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like I don't really
It feels
do,
like relatable.
Right. I don't really do like mom groups. I'm not like in any.
Do you feel like because that, maybe it's twofold. It acknowledges the struggles of
yeah.
parenthood
yeah.
and also kind of takes the mom label off of you. Like you can
yes.
actually be a person outside of parenthood. In
yeah,
those two conversations.
That's a great analysis.
Great.
Done.
Again, thank you
Saved
for listening.
Save a lot of money on a therapist.
I will charge you.
And the social aspect, like I don't like drink wine by myself.
Yeah, no, I don't. Really
so like
either.
It's like very social to me. It's a fun way to like get together with my friends and just like vent and stuff like that.
How often do you drink?
Oh, regularly.
Do you?
No. I mean,
I like rarely see you drink. And the same, like I was going to point out, I see you every day.
Yeah.
I don't ever see you eat bad things. And I rarely to never see you drink. So it's always interesting to like hear self-reports.
I would guess once a week.
Drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, probably.
I would say that's like on the light side.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have a problem. My family
has... Which is always
has...
what people say when they do.
True. Maybe me and poor David can get together and talk about okay, how we've been lambasted by you in this episode.
Well, on Facebook the other day, and I'm not shaming this person, they were very brave to post this, in a mom group.
As are we all to post on Facebook ever.
If anything. She was like, mamas, help me out. I am going to go ahead and tell you I don't have a problem. Both of my parents are alcoholics. I don't have a problem, but I drink multiple drinks every single night. Let me know if this is normal. And it's like, well.
Again, everyone's different.
Everyone's
first of
different.
All.
That's where, to me, this question kind of arose of like, I don't know. We're all trying to do our best to cope and make it through the day. And mm-hmm. so on one hand, if that is your normal, okay. But I do think that there's a knowledge piece of it of being so aware because we are in such a alcohol friendly culture. Like I
yeah.
even think like it's hard to think of an activity to do with just adults, at least in Charlotte where
that
we are.
That doesn't involve alcohol.
That doesn't involve drinks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because Charlotte is a very brewery heavy city.
Very brewery heavy.
And we make good beer here. But I have a very addictive personality in nature.
Do you?
I don't like that tone.
No, I was genuinely
so
surprised.
Sassy.
Sorry,
I was like,
genuinely
strike
surprised.
100 tonight.
I would have said, do you?
You said exactly like that.
Did I?
Like you quoted yourself.
I was just surprised. I would not have said that about you.
Okay, well,
I mean, yeah, high, strong, anal, genif, sure. No.
Why would I bother even looking up a therapist?
I'm right here. I take all insurances.
Okay. I don't even know what.
I really was surprised. I'm sorry that didn't.
Okay. What I was saying was, I have a very addictive personality.
Okay.
And nature. So I really couldn't like indulge all that often. I'm not super drawn to drinking by myself at all.
Yeah. No. I'm not.
Maybe when the kids were like babies.
Yeah, I definitely drink a lot more when they were little, like smaller right. than they
now they're teenagers.
Are.
So.
Right, right. But part of it was, I mean, David's recovery made a big difference.
He didn't want to like drink around.
Yeah, he is totally fine and will say like, do you want a drink? Do you want a glass of wine? But it's just, it feels weird to me to do that. And right. like, I'm not going to like enjoy half a bottle of wine by myself, you know? And mm-hmm. even when we go out to dinner, it's different because our dates used to revolve around like splitting a bottle of wine.
Right.
And enjoying dinner. And so it's not fun to do it
by yourself.
By myself.
It's really not
especially
fun
when
to drink
like
alone.
I know that he would.
Right.
But
yeah.
Like, that's gonna go down a slope. I don't want it to,
right.
you know.
2 years in one day and now we're done.
Here we are.
A good 2 years.
Yeah. Well, especially because David hadn't been drinking until we started dating. So I don't know what that
is. You're the problem.
To. I clearly am the problem. He has to drink to get through this time with me. But that is how that's not how we started dating, but really we were on.
Because I got him drunk.
Yeah, we were on a family trip to Turks and Caicos. We talked about it beforehand. I knew he didn't drink. But
you were really on a family trip to Turks and Caicos? Who are you?
Sorry.
That is the bougiest thing I have ever heard.
It was our second time there. It's fine.
What? Oh, my gosh. My family trips are like Myrtle Beach, so.
That's cute.
I'm so upset. First the Tom's Chips thing,
okay,
and
well,
you have part of a college named after you, and
well,
now
since,
this.
Since then, my husband became an alcoholic, and my dad left our family. Do you feel better about
yourself?
Well,
you've been to Turks and Caicos twice, so what's the. I don't know. I still lose here.
What a friend. Anyway, on this family trip to Turks and Caicos, David and I had talked about before, like, no, maybe this is the time to start drinking. Sounds awful. But he'd stop drinking.
So you'll be fun.
You'll be fun, David. Make a good impression on my family.
Totally kidding, listeners.
We can only laugh about it because we know somebody, right? Is that how it goes? Anyway, he started drinking then, and I was totally okay with
he was
it.
Like a teetotaler before he went on your little bougie ass family vacation to
That's
Turks
right.
and Caicos.
That's right.
Probably the Kardashians were also there.
Well. Why do you think I know so much
no
about
wonder
them?
No wonder they have DM'd you at least one time.
Why do you think I followed them so closely? They're my friends.
Yeah.
So anyway, he had like rum punch or something. But later, like even in the last couple of years, he told me that when I left the room after he had rum punch, he immediately took two shots of whatever it was, like
okay.
rum, obviously.
Yeah.
And like he immediately knew like, oh, this is going to be a problem.
Oh,
but to me, that's not what I saw. I saw, oh, look, we're having fun on family vacation because I didn't see him
right.
do that. So I think there is like a lot of this behind the scenes that people front of like, mommy's drinking wine.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody else, that could be a very real problem.
Right.
But it's become so friendly to talk about. Like getting tipsy on vacation in Turks and Caicos on rum punch.
As we all are at some point. Am I right? Relatable. That's what people call us.
Okay. Well, do you want me to also talk about when the next year we went to Punta Cana? I
oh
don't
my
know.
Gosh. I'm going to lose it.
But it really became an interesting conversation later of, yeah, it looks like everybody's having fun.
Right.
But you don't see somebody
right.
not having fun
right.
at this point. But it's because it's all masked.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is what we're doing. And I feel that way with this wine mommy culture. And I've said before about how I want to present on social media. I'm careful about the captions that I put on my pictures of the girls. I don't ever want them to look back and feel like I didn't enjoy being their parent.
Yeah,
you know,
good
so
point.
I don't want to be like complaining in a cute picture of them.
Yeah.
But I also don't want them to look back and feel like the only way mom got through this was drinking.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I don't post all that much anyway.
Well, yeah.
I don't.
You're once a week when you're drinking wine.
Yeah. Drunk Instagramming.
Drunk
that doesn't happen. I don't really think my mind doesn't go there to like the, I don't want them to look back and think that because I intend to always be real with them. And the fact that parenting is hard isn't specific to my kids.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to like think that I'm some god who can handle it all. Like,
yeah.
I think they need to know that this is a very hard time in my life. And mm-hmm. I'm not like, some people seem to be a lot better at it than me. And some people, I think, enjoy it differently than I do.
But everyone's going to enjoy different stages.
Right. But my point is, like, if they were to look back and see that, like, I would hope, again, I can't think of anything I would have posted that would, like, but I mean, I just, like, I don't know. I don't, even when I'm, like, venting, not like, I try not to, like, vent around them specifically, like, because I don't want to be like, well, Maya did this. Yeah. Although,
well, it's just not, I mean,
it's not nice to, like, talk about. But I mean, at the same time, like, I just don't, like, this is a real hard game. And it's not because of you, but, and I, like, I also say that understanding that it was because of me at some point for my parents. Yeah. Like, this is just a circle of life. This sucks, but it gets better and better.
How old were you when you figured that out?
Oh, today.
Okay. No, cool.
I mean, it's been a while.
Well, I told you this. Norbeth asked me last week if I liked being a mommy.
Right. Yeah, you told me that.
Which, like, kind of took me by surprise, and then asked, like, real earnestly, like, is it hard?
Mm-hmm.
Which, one, I was like, you're four. Why are you thinking of these existential questions?
Right. But, she's an old soul.
But I did have to have the conversation with her of, like, I love being a mom. Like, there's nothing I love more.
Right.
But I didn't say it was hard, because what she equates to being hard and what I mean by that, she doesn't understand what that is. You know, like, she can't take the abstract concept away from that. So I just said, you know, it is such a big job that I have to take care of you. You know, it's such a big job that sometimes it makes me tired, to try to, like, put it on her terms. But you're also better at describing, like, really abstract concepts to your kids in a very logical way.
I think I would have just said, yes, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's not, neither one of us is wrong or right. I mean, I'm just saying, I think, to me, thinking of a way to, like, protect their feelings would have exhausted me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I think it wasn't even, like, at least I know, to me, I was about to say it wasn't about protecting her feelings, but I guess it probably was, that I would have taken that, I wanted my mom to be so happy with me. And so, if I had, if she had said that it was, like, hard to be my mom, I would have carried that around for a long time at her age. Like, it would probably still define me. So, mom, if you told me it was hard, that's why.
Please don't.
But no, I think that I would have heard it so individualized. Like, I don't think I could have heard it as motherhood universally is hard, and you'll find out one day.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe I would be wrong in saying that to the 4-year-old.
I'm not saying that you are wrong.
No, I know that you're not saying that, but it could be. And I frequently find myself saying, well, that wasn't the right way to.
So if you're a child psychologist, you can let us know.
You can move into my house.
But that's neither here nor there of alcohol. But I am aware of it. But I also know my life circumstances are a little bit different. But I do feel like it's pretty pervasive of mommy needs wine.
Yeah. You show me something that someone was talking about. Like, so I guess here's the action point in that thing, my way of thinking. And if you think this is not enough, like, let us know. I would say it's one thing to offer and then, like, accept when someone says no, but I would, unless you're real close friends with someone, to me it's kind of like treat like alcohol and like how you should treat someone having kids. And that if it's not your, like, really close friend, don't question it.
Yeah, just take it for what it's worth.
Right, take it at face value.
This post that I shared with you is a little letter board. And it said, alcohol is the only drug we have to explain not using. And that, like, goes directly to your point. Which I think
it's
is a good
heavy.
Point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you don't want to drink?
Right. It's like, oh, do you not want kids? Like, all right, well, we don't know the story behind it. And the story might be that you don't want kids or you don't want to drink. It's all fine. It's all up to you. So regardless, we don't need to other people for it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I haven't been a part of that. I don't think so. I try and...
No, I can't imagine you being a part of that at all.
But
I did want to share some of the responses that we got when we asked people about their relationship with food. Mallory, who I mentioned what she said about her food relationship earlier, said, it seems to be so pervasive in mommy culture, but really can be so problematic for many. One of my best friends, who's also a mom, is 8 years sober, and we can still bond over our toddlers being jerks without wine. But I also, all caps, really like wine and really enjoy using it to wind down after anything, which then she added a laughy face emoji. But she says there's also alcoholism on both sides of her family. So she tries to keep it in check of whether she is enjoying it or self-medicating, which I thought was really wise.
Yeah, I have thought that as well. There's some alcoholism in one side of my family. So I try and I try and make sure that it is a social event.
Yeah.
For me, that's just what works for me. Everyone's different.
Nan, one of our listeners, gave me kind of an outline of how she talks about food with herself.
Another listener named Nan that isn't my mom.
It's not your mom. Anyway, she went through like a pretty strict regimen for herself to kind of learn how to track based on like units of food.
Okay.
But she said now it's given her a framework. She doesn't do it religiously anymore, but it gives her a mental framework to stay in track. And it's helped her to stay in line when she's taking the kids to get ice cream, not always getting some too. So she's picking and choosing when she is, which I thought was like really fair. So she's given herself a framework and accountability for herself about food.
Which is good because she's answering to herself.
And she said,
that's the key.
Yeah, she said, being in control of her eating helps her be a better parent and better wife. If you treat yourself and your body with respect, then you look and feel better too. It's all connected.
I would agree with that because the run of like doing really well and being really healthy, I was a better overall individual.
Yeah, I agree.
So like that it is all connected. Like what we put in our bodies manifests somehow.
Josephine eats her feelings.
Yes.
A listener, Megan, said that she would describe her relationship with things that she consumes as uninformed, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's something that she'd like to change, which I felt like that was really good.
Yeah, because there's so many misconceptions. I mean, it's like I was like jokingly saying ish, like home cooked food is healthy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do kind of assume if I'm making it at home, I'm like, well, it's not McDonald's, which I also love. Sure. But I mean, I think there's so many things that are marketed to us a certain way that it's like you got to get underneath all the marketing for whoever wants you to eat this and figure out what is really good for you or like, because everyone's body is also different.
Right.
Like there are different actual body types and like what works for like intermittent fasting didn't work for me at this point in my life, but people swear by it.
Yeah.
So it's just, there's a lot to learn about yourself.
Yeah. I did intermittent fasting for a little bit, but I just never got to the point that I wasn't constantly looking at the clock. And like, I think that's the whole point.
I did pretty well with it. And I was able to accept the boundaries. I just felt there for a couple of like different chemical reactions, it didn't like work well for me.
I think that you'll like what listener Melissa says, that I really liked this. I found it so approachable. I've always been pretty balanced. I don't and never really have overindulged. I don't drink too much because my body doesn't do well with it. And I don't eat too much or too terribly for the same reason. But that's not to say I'm a super fit, skinny person. I just kind of ride the middle of the line for the most part, and it seems to be healthiest for me, which I like really
loved. Oh, I like
loved.
That. Yeah.
And then she said, I really hope that I can instill this in my kids, too, that it's okay to eat fun things and drink fun things all in moderation.
Okay, I like that. That's ideal. Because that's the goal, is like enjoy your life. Like that's the kind, you know, I feel like I get down this rabbit hole of like, well, I can only eat this and this and that. I'm like, okay, at the end of the day, I can have a couple drinks because we do only get one life. Like, what's the point? I'm not
for sure.
I do not deny myself if it's like a true craving.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jessica says that her relationship with things she consumed would be all about control. She's thought about it a lot in the last couple of years, and it's become one of the only things that she feels like she has control over in her life. When she quit her career to stay home with her daughter, she had a hard adjustment to staying home and losing control of her previously very scheduled day. And then she said that she controlled how she felt and was not controlled by her daughter and her needs and wants. So she controlled it in her food.
I get the mindset behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being controlled by my children is something that I have found a lot of trouble adjusting to.
Yeah. So she said for her, she needs to find a better balance by being less disciplined.
Right.
Which I thought was great. And then April, friend of the pod, April, who's coming back on the pod in a couple
weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Ish. Yeah, summer's flying by. It'll be like tomorrow by the time.
Anyway, you guys have asked for April to come back and she... Yeah.
And we love her.
She said that she knows that she relies on nightly wine too much. She doesn't drink to excess, but she does enjoy a slight buzz and mental escape, which, like, good for you.
Yeah, relatable as well.
She says nothing to impair her parental judgment or cause her to feel poorly the next morning.
Right.
She aims to eventually lessen the frequency, but for now, in a very challenging stage of her life, she thinks the words for now and understanding that it may help me cope for now, but it's not something I can continue.
I appreciate that.
Which I thought was incredibly insightful.
It is. And that's a very good point. Like, I appreciate her admitting, you, April, I appreciate you admitting that you need a little bit of, like, escapism.
Yeah.
Because that is, like, so relatable to me. Like, escapism is therapy for me. So whatever it is that works, like, in the moment, you know,
however you escape.
Like sometimes TV is that. Sometimes, like, a really good book, like, is that. And sometimes it's, like, a glass or two of wine.
Well, as always, it sounds like there's a lot more to dive into. Mm-hmm. You guys provided wonderful feedback. Thank you. And we would love to continue to hear about how you balance your relationship with food, how it's changing, what you feel like has worked for you, ditto with alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. And what could we be doing differently to help? Yeah. Like, you know, there's so many situations that people are like maybe avoiding. Like, I didn't really think about the effects of like someone who is sober on seeing like especially like a mom who is sober seeing all of the rest of us being like, oh my gosh, I need, you know.
Well,
so what can we be doing better to be sensitive?
Yeah, our last input was from a listener, Sarah, who's 11 and a half years sober, and giving up alcohol was the hardest thing that she's ever done. She literally thought she would lose her life and her career. She did lose some relationships, and she mm-hmm. has to place her sobriety above everything else. And the mommy wine culture is frustrating. It seems to make drinking because of your kids something funny and cute, and it's not, because too many women are struggling in silence with their alcohol addiction until they find recovery. It's hard to be a mom in today's society that doesn't drink because so much of our culture celebrates and revolves around alcohol.
That's a very good point.
No pun intended, truly, like a very sobering thought of like, right. As we laugh lightly about things, like, okay, well, it's right. a little different
it's,
than that.
It is. And it is also, a lot of it, I think, is us kind of covering up, like, how hard it really is for us.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's easier to just, like, say, let's have a drink than it mm-hmm. is to be like, I'm really struggling today.
Yeah,
so, like,
point.
Not only is it, like, further to her point, like, it's kind of an easy out for us.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier than getting therapy. And I think that it leads down some really painful roads and easier maybe in the short run.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like a therapist, but I it's easier for me to turn to than to like pay a copay to go see a therapist.
Yeah, that's a great
So point. If it's like that
Unless
for
me.
Unless
you're using Amanda's dietitian.
Right. Unless I'm using my friend's medical staff, which I am. But if it's easier, like if it's easier than that for me, like I think there are other people who would feel that way too. So I don't know.
No, that sounds great. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Quick break.
Yeah. We'll be right back. All right. We didn't do, it sounded like a good idea at the time last week.
Yeah.
I did come prepared last week and this week, but I have one to share.
Okay.
So we talked about a couple weeks ago, my girls were flower girls in some family friend's wedding. Everything was going great. They made it down the aisle. Everything was good. I'd forgotten to coach them about like what a ceremony was like
right.
and that they needed
Kids
to stay quiet.
Kids don't have
quiet.
Like big church these days.
So. Right. But yeah, they don't sit in it. And so anyway, they came back to sit with me and they were getting antsy because mm-hmm. they knew that there was reception food and they knew there was dancing, but I'd forgotten to like tell them about
yeah.
the part. Well, we didn't have Wi-Fi where we were, but I was like frantically looking at my app store for anything with Frozen in it. Cause I'm like, this is going to be a winner, whatever I choose.
Right.
So I downloaded this Frozen thing. I didn't even look at what it was. And it's like a puzzle game. So immediately when we opened it, it like wasn't really functioning because we didn't have Wi-Fi. And I'm like, I don't know. It's Frozen something.
Right. Look at
so
it.
Last week I decided, oh, I just need to delete this off of my phone because I don't like having kids games on my phone. Well, I realized it was like a block breaker game, which I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now on level 49 of this stupid Frozen game. Also, if you play Frozen Fallout, you know how to beat level 49. Let me know. but I can't stop playing it. And I'm so mad at myself because I'm like, of all the games, like, could I not do Candy Crush? Like, I was
right.
felt so much better than that. But, like, Anna is cheering me on level 49.
Oh, she's so
and
earnest.
Yeah, I know. And I unlocked Olaf earlier today, so life is good. So
yeah, that's pretty good. For me, that game is Piffle, which I downloaded before Thanksgiving last year. And I've now beaten it.
Heard of that.
It's addicting.
Okay.
And I've never spent my dollars on it, which is a... like, I'm proud of that because I have actually beaten the game. But I'm, like, waiting for more levels to be added because,
sure.
like, they're like, more levels are coming soon. And I just, like, keep checking daily. I'm trying to, like, three-star
Sorry,
all the levels.
I'm playing level 49.
Yeah. It sounded like a good idea for me to drink coffee, like, okay. later today, which it always is. But I am at the age where I cannot drink coffee past 4, and I did it again today. No, it's, like, past, like, noon. I did it again today because,
well,
like...
you're not supposed to on the days we record.
I know. And you
I've
people
I've given up
probably
my entire diet soda habit for you.
For this only. I stayed extremely hydrated today because we've been outside all day, but I just drag so hard, and now I'm, like, yawning and wired.
Oh,
so,
that's a terrible...
Yeah, it's, like... When I was pregnant with
relatable.
I know. When I was pregnant with Milan, they told me that I could take B12 and Ambien.
Unisom.
Thank you.
I wish they started.
I know. Yeah. I don't know why I thought of B12 and Unisom. And they're like, it's the same thing as
Diclegis.
Sure. I don't know. Something else. And I took it and it was the trippiest I've ever felt because I was exhausted, but so wired.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't know, like, I can't, like, I take a multivitamin in the morning that has a lot of B12 because I need that. Like, if I don't take it, as I found out when you subbed out my vitamins for beauty vitamins, which was a horrible hint.
Sorry for trying to make you pretty.
I can either be pretty or have energy. Like, it's one or the other.
Clearly. It's what the media doesn't tell you.
I think we can see which one I picked. Anyway, like, all I need is, like, a little, and I'm, like, wired for the day. But I'm telling you, like, the heat and these kids are, like, sucking it out of me. So I had more coffee, and now I'm, like, this, but yawning, and I'm, like, am I going to sleep tonight?
I really wish I'd known all that before you were the one who drove us here.
I told you I'm fine.
But if you don't hear this episode on Wednesday, you know why. It's because we didn't make it home.
You drove us here one time on, like, a week's worth of anxiety meds, though.
No anxiety meds. Talk right, about trippy. Right. Things are looking up. I haven't had one of those puppies in like a month.
At the advice of a medical professional, or are we just really freeballing it? Okay.
Crunchy.
Cool.
I don't do medicine now.
Right.
No caffeine, no medicine.
See chiropractors exclusively.
It's fine.
Okay. I don't know. We have it all together, as usual. Always.
Well, please leave us a review. Hopefully not immediately after this episode. Re-listen to your favorite episode. Leave a review.
Yeah. Find your feelings after that one.
It does help people find us in the iTunes library, so we would love it.
Please do. Please tell your friends and let us know how you feel about this one. And we'll be back next week.